Let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Second and 10, Mayfield to the end zone to Jefferson. Is that possible? Touchdown. This is impossible. They go 98 yards.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You know, I was really hoping last night that on that call that, you know, Al Michaels, you know, with generic calls, we all know that about Al Michaels. I wish it would have been something crazy and one of a kind, like, do you believe in miracles? Yes, like something like that. But, oh, impossible, whatever. But he never thinks of things like that. It's crazy. No, it was impossible last night. There was no way down 16-3, getting nothing going, were the Rams, that they were going to find a way to score two touchdowns in the last 4 minutes of the game, because they scored that first touchdown with about 3:30 left to go in the game. So 4 minutes to go. They're down by 13. They find a way to win. And, oh, it was hilarious. So a lot of fun had around in Kansas City. You know what? If you can't win yourself, then go ahead and have a little schadenfreude. Enjoy what took place there in L.A. with Las Vegas and the Rams, and yet another game in which the Raiders just find a way to lose. It's what they do. Just found another way, a new way to lose games. And you know what? I know what that's like from college football, but it's fun watching another team do that in the NFL. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation today. We will talk with Matt Derrick coming up at 11 o'clock. He is one of our Chiefs insiders, Chiefs Digest. We'll hang out with Matt for the hour, talk some Chiefs with him, talk some Denver Broncos, some AFC, some things like that. We will also talk with Kendall Gammon coming up at noon. And Mick Schaefer will be our guest around 12:30. We'll hear from Andy Reid on a Fast Friday. We got the cuts before the show is over. All that still to come here on this Friday edition. Again, 913-912-4810. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards. Josh Briscoe not in studio today. And let me tell you how nice the exchange was from Josh Briscoe to the face that I got to start my show off with today. In that I'm sitting down, music is playing, the intro's playing, and walking down the hall, it's the beautiful face, the beautiful man, Jarrett Sutton. Oh. He walks in, we're shaking hands and happy holidaying and everything, and family all good, and well, let's see about tomorrow, all of that. And I'm like, man, what a face to look across at to start my show. How nice is that? Nothing against the person that typically sits here. Not you, Josh, because you know you're a Denver biscuit today. I'm just saying, like, today was really cool to have that little bit of enjoyment, a little candy for the eyes today.
Yeah. Well, look, Jarrett has clearly earned that, and you may have come up with the only single thing that I am now missing, not being at the studio today, because right, I'm out here at Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon. That's Denver Biscuit Company in the mornings for some incredible brunch action, and then Fat Soli's New York style pizza and burgers in the afternoons. This whole spot is unbelievable up in Westport. This is the second time that I've been here, and the vibes are awesome. The food is unreal. I have been told that there may be opportunities for me to gorge myself throughout the show.
Oh, cool.
We can break in with some, you know, quick reviews of whatever absolutely unhinged deliciousness they bring over, but that's what they have here. Again, Denver Biscuit Company, it was an immediate jump to the top of my power rankings, much like Baker Mayfield as the 2023 quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams. You can book that, and you can get the best brunch in Kansas City here at Denver Biscuit Company.
Comeback player of the year, Baker Mayfield or Geno Smith? I don't know. It's now a toss-up.
Baker had to come back from being on the Panthers this season, so that's his argument.
Baker has gone from commercials in his house in Cleveland to then commercials with his house in Carolina, and now he's got to get back into the commercials with his house in L.A. What a whirlwind for Baker Mayfield. What a fourth quarter it was watching that game last night. But Denver Biscuit, Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon, Westport is where you are hanging out today until 2 o'clock. So that's going on for the listeners, that they can go and check that out and enjoy some of the awesome food that's there. You got something better than a Nature Valley protein bar?
Yeah, every single thing, I think, is the answer.
No, I'm just also comparing what I have in front of me maybe for a snack over the next 4 hours to eat during the show versus what you will be enjoying. Roughly the same, I feel like.
Yeah, you got to just get out of here it too, because then you can come through for the New York style pizza and the burgers. I mean, the scope here is incredible.
Yeah.
Plus, we're doing some giveaways today. We got some Charlie Hustle gift cards. We got some new 810 T-shirts, and also they've got shot specials, Jason. Because you know Denver Biscuit Company, Chiefs versus Denver coming up on Sunday.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They've got two specialty shots. They've got the No Place Like Mahomes shot for $8.10. That's right. That's us. That's our number. And then they have Let's Hide. And that one, I don't know. My only concern with that one is that by watching the Denver Broncos offense this year, I'm pretty sure you're only allowed to take like one or two real shots a game. So I don't know if they're going to cut you off after one deep shot here like Nathaniel Hackett probably would. But regardless, absolute art being made here at Atomic Cowboy.
Yeah, you can take a couple of shots. You will make no progress whatsoever on the night, and you'll probably end up turning that over later on.
The best turning it over is, yeah, that's a very eloquent, very kind way of framing
it. Exactly
the best
right,
thing
yeah.
The best thing to ever start with the word Denver is absolutely Denver Biscuit Company.
Yeah, I had some a couple of weeks ago and it was awesome and I'm jealous. So I have exchanged seeing Jarrett Sutton coupled with a protein bar, and you have no Jarrett Sutton but Denver Biscuit Company. I'm not sure who's winning, to be honest with you. So
I got Dylan and Luke. So I have some numbers on my side. Also, I understand the battle, but you couldn't get me out of here for all the Jarrett Suttons in the world.
You know, if it wasn't in Westport, I would demand Dylan or Luke bring back some nice things to eat today. And you know what? I will gladly exchange this protein bar with them. If they want to bring back some food, I will make an even exchange. You get this protein bar and I get whatever else you might bring back, even some pizza, whatever it might be. That would be awesome. But Josh is going to be there in Westport over the next 4 hours or so, talking some Chiefs, talking some Raiders, but NFL football overall. Matt Derrick, Kendall Gammon, Mick Schaefer. We'll hear from Lee Sterling later on this hour. I do have a little bit of a baseball take. If we get into it, it's tough to do on Fridays, but it ain't going anywhere. So if we don't get into it today, we can get into it some other time. But a little bit as to, you know, the hot stove, the free agency period, what's going on, the lack of news regarding the Royals. Some things on that. And that ain't going anywhere because I think the lack of news on the Royals will be around for a while. So they didn't get Jacob DeGrom. Pissed. That's my take. There it is. How do you not get DeGrom or Verlander? You are a DeGrom or Verlander away from winning at least 78 games. And if you can get one of those two guys, whatever it costs, you sell whatever you need to, you back up the Brinks truck, because if you can get to 78 wins, you're really starting to show that you're ready to compete. So I don't know why they didn't do it. I'm pissed off.
Can't believe it.
There's my take.
Aaron Judge go to. Come on,
right?
Sherman.
I mean, come on, man. Xander
Bogaerts. Why doesn't he want to be paying Aaron Judge $40 million in his early 40s? I don't understand.
You know,
it's like I don't even want to win.
If Sherman really wanted to win and wasn't just about, you know, oh, I want to make money, I'm an owner, and I don't want to lose all of the money that I've built up in my life, and blah, blah, blah. Then you know what? Go get Aaron Judge and Verlander and DeGrom and Xander Bogaerts and, you know, make a statement around here that you're ready to go. But not going to do that. Just, I don't understand. It tells me that they're not winners. If you're not willing to go and pay over $1 billion for those players, then what's the point? What are we even doing here? That is not my Royals take.
Speaking of bloated contracts that are holding their team back, we are talking about Chiefs Broncos on this Red Friday.
Yes, we are. But we do want to start with Raiders last night.
Have to.
Because, man, I mean, there's analysis that goes along with this, and then there's just fun that goes along with this, and Baker Mayfield and the improbable win last night for the Rams. I mean, they did nothing on the night. I mean, they're losing 16-3. The Raiders didn't do anything either, by the way. I mean, Derek Carr in the second half, I tweeted it out after the game was over. Guy was 2 of 7 for 11 yards and one interception in the second half. I mean, they're leading 13-3 at half. And you're 2 of 7, 11 yards and one interception. You got Baker Mayfield over there. Like, you don't need much. You know, it's not like we're talking about the AFC Championship game where it's like, all you got was 3 points in the second half. Well, yeah, it's Joe Burrow, it's Ja'Marr Chase, it's T. Higgins. There's some things going on over there. It's a pretty good defense, too. You know, you would like to have that offense do a little bit more. But, I mean, the Rams could do nothing. Like, you just simply had to put a few points on the board, and you were going more than a few points on the board, and you were going to win that thing. And instead, it's in perfect Raiders fashion, because I know a lot of people are talking about the Jerry Tillery play on second down after Max Crosby sacks Baker Mayfield, and the game's essentially going to be over at that point. They're at their own 13-yard line. There's a minute 20 to play, no timeouts. You need a touchdown, and the clock is going to be ticking. All right, so you got receivers downfield. They all have to run back. You're going to call the play and get everybody set, and that would have been a third down, I think. Or no, that was first down that he was sacked on. Regardless, you got second or third down, and the clock is running, and you've got to go at that point 87 more yards with probably what would be a minute 10, minute 5, and no timeouts to go in a second and long. The game's probably over there. They don't make that deep throw down the sideline to, you spell his name or pronounce it, I'm not, Tungavailoa, down the Devon Dotson. They don't throw it to him down the sideline if they're just scrambling and doing some of those things. So we talk about the Jerry Tillery play because it's great, because they pick him up from the Chargers earlier this year. So you got two AFC West contributing there, the Chargers and the Raiders contributing for that one last night. But people are forgetting about the drive before that the Rams scored a touchdown, but they punted on that drive. But they got a first down because Cleveland Farrell was offsides on the punt. And they went and scored a touchdown. Both of the Rams' touchdowns last night in the fourth quarter came essentially via penalty. The Cleveland Farrell penalty gave them the Raiders got the ball back. The punt had already happened, and the exchange in possession was taking place. And then you see flag, and it's like, oh, it's going to be a holding or something. We had a flag on special teams, blocking the back, holding. The guy ran out of bounds for an hour and didn't run back in, whatever it might be. But it's still a 13-point lead for the Raiders, and this game is over. The Rams have done nothing because it was a three and out, and they punted. And then you find out it was an offsides by the Raiders, and they get a first down. And for a little, at that point, just a little bit, I was like, What if they do something here? And we come back and look at Cleveland Farrell's offsides. And instead, Cleveland Farrell is sending a Christmas card to Jerry Tillery and a thank you card, because that's what everybody is discussing, is that Jerry Tillery. And at that point, they still had to go 75 yards in a minute and 20 with no timeouts, and Baker Mayfield is the quarterback running a two-minute drill when he had been there for 2 minutes before the game started. So Farrell's penalty was Jerry Tillery's penalty was pretty bad, but the Raiders had the game was probably over in both of them. Either one of them don't happen, and they probably win the game. But both of them do happen, and the Raiders essentially were eliminated from the playoffs last night. I mean, we talked about whether or not they were going to even get in the playoffs, Josh. That I thought they were a sneaky team to, you know, they can get hot, and they were two games back of the playoffs. But you had the Jets in front of them, you had the Patriots and Chargers, and so you had these teams in front of them. They had beaten the Chargers, so they're, you know, the tiebreaker wouldn't have worked against them in that scenario. That, you know, if they start winning some games, that Week 18 could be pretty crucial. If the Chiefs want to get the one seed, if the Bills lose along the way, and if the Raiders are playing for the playoffs, that could be a massive game. And instead, they lose that one, and now they have a 4% chance to make the playoffs, do the Raiders. And it's a season, Josh, where they were up 23-7 on the Cardinals. They were up 17-0 on the Chiefs and the Jags. They were leading the Rams 16-3 with 3:30 to go. They were playing the Colts when Jeff Saturday went from the broadcast booth to the sideline, or from the high school sideline to the NFL sideline. 5 days later, they played him, And then they play the Rams, where Baker Mayfield flew in and played that day like an AAU player that you're flying in for a tournament on a Saturday. Like, hey, now this guy's coming in from St. Louis. Now he's pretty damn good, so you know he's going to be here around 10 o'clock. So he should be good for that 11 o'clock tip off for our first game here in the tournament. That was almost like Baker Mayfield, and you lost that game too. There's a lot of talk about Nathaniel Hackett, but Josh McDaniels has done a whole lot of figuring out ways in that Raiders team to lose games where you can make a real case that you play some of these games over, and the Raiders are right there with the Chiefs for first place, and it's the Chiefs and Raiders and all this talk about Adams and what the Raiders can do in signing Chandler Jones, and instead they're not, and we're not, and they have blown some big leads, and it's funny.
Oh, it's high comedy. And the funny thing about it, not I guess not the comedy part, but the confusing part of it, I guess, is that I don't like to just say, something went wrong, let's blame the coaches, because sometimes that's not a terribly informed way of doing it. There's a lot of nuance in that.
True.
Point to something else with this team, though. How can you be making NFL history with the way that you blow leads that you carry into halftime? How can you, everybody go ahead and take a drink here from Denver Biscuit Company back to the station, find a liquid. How can you punt on 4th and 1 from the middle of the field in the early part of the second half, where you have a chance to try to put your foot on the throat of a football team that does not belong out there because of how injured they have been? Their quarterback, it's a great line, is now running a 2-minute drill after being there for 2 minutes. You can't allow that kind of thing to happen, and it's why those 4th down midfield decisions matter. It's why coaching, something culturally there is so broken. And if you don't believe me, ask Derek Carr. It is really one of the most baffling sort of collapses of an organization that has enough talent to not be embarrassing. And they have been pitiful this year, especially with these leads they've taken in a halftime and then just piddled away.
And I'm happy that took place last night, because it does create a scenario to where the Raiders just might melt down. When you've already got Derek Carr that was, you know, very emotional about people not buying in, the emotional investment wasn't there in the locker room, calling out his teammates, and then this happens, what are they going to get even more emotionally invested after you realize that your playoff hopes are probably gone? You had won a number of games, you had some momentum heading in, that way you felt like you were an ascending team to go and make some noise. Hey, we just did this last year, we can do it again this year. And then you fall flat on your face, and that happens last night. How do you then pick yourself back up and really go play inspired football against other teams that are going to be trying to make the playoffs? And by week 18, that was the game that I was most worried about, was, you know, week 18 for the Chiefs. If there was a loss on the schedule the rest of the way, it was that. Because if the Raiders were to, you know, continue with their momentum heading in the right direction and feel like they were, you know, playing some good football, and they were gaining confidence as a football team, that, you know, the Chiefs don't all of a sudden go to, you know, Vegas and like, okay, well, all the Chiefs have to do is win against a team that, you know, do they even want to be there? And is Josh McDaniels going to get fired? And who's losing their job at the end of the season? I thought that was a tough one. And now, after last night, like, one of my takeaways is, like, the Chiefs should definitely be 5-0. I thought they would anyway. But the game that scared me the most no longer scares me nearly as much as it would have. Not that I would have picked them to lose, but just say, out of these 5 games, what's the most likely loss? I picked the Raiders in Week 18, and not because of a bye week or anything like that. I picked them in Week 18 because how close that game was earlier this year. And if that's a win and you get in for the Raiders, they beat the Chargers last year in the winner gets in, and they went and won that game against the Chargers, who we felt was a better team last year. And so, that one worried me. Not anymore. There's no excuse for the Chiefs not to be 5-0 the rest of the way.
For all of the absolutely justified grief that we gave to the Colts for the Jeff Saturday thing, somewhere there is an argument that, like, hey, you can rally around him for a few games. It's something different. It's a different personality type. And he can be at least a professional. They can have all of these players who are out there playing for jobs, right? Like, the Raiders aren't playing for the playoffs anymore. But there are guys out there. For Derek Carr, it might be to become the hottest available free agent quarterback this offseason.
Yeah.
And for everybody else, you know, it might just be trying to keep your NFL career going. I'm backseat driving, I'm Monday morning quarterbacking, all of those things. but I just can't come up with one single solitary reason I should believe that the Raiders feel like there's anything to play for outside of their own self-interests and trying to keep their career going. And that is about the most damning indictment I think you can deliver to a coaching staff, that there's just absolutely not a lick of fire anywhere in there. And that's what the quarterback, who will legit shed tears in a post-game press conference for all the, again, the grief you want to give Derek Carr, most of it's justified, but at least he cares, man. Like, he wants that team to be better than it is, and he sees a problem in that organization. At this point, I think everybody does.
Yeah, and I don't hate Derek Carr. I mean, I'm fine. I think he's a fine quarterback. You know, I think he gets a lot of grief because he plays for the Raiders and because his brother likes to pump him up, you know, to be better than he actually is. And I get it from the brotherly love. And I'm not sure if David is still going to vote for Derek Carr number one in the MVP and Heisman this year. I'm not sure if David's going to do that, but we'll see after last night. But I'm fine with Derek Carr, and I think he's, you know,
Emo Kirk Cousins.
Yes, he could be emo, and really emo, because he gets really emotional too.
He's a super emo Kirk Cousins.
That's exactly
he's like if
right,
Kirk Cousins and Sid from Toy Story were combined into one person.
Yeah, but you know, there's something about that organization, man. You know, we hear the Chiefs players of back in the day saying, "Oh, the Raiders would always make a mistake. You just had to let the Raiders make the mistake. That's what they would do." And they're still doing it. I do want to talk about Baker Mayfield. We'll do that on the other side of the break. Baker Mayfield, Kadarius Toney should be returning to the Chiefs offense coming up on Sunday. Hopefully Mecole Hardman then returns next week. And if Mecole Hardman returns next week, hopefully Toney is still out there next week. That is something to always to worry about, because that's what the Giants had to worry about. And it didn't take long for the Chiefs to have to worry about soft tissue injury with Kadarius Toney. So what difference that can make. And then I saw something that I was going to ignore it because I typically don't pay attention to some specific NFL things during the season, right? We don't talk a whole lot about, let's break down what the roster looks like next year. We do from time to time. Like on Tuesday, we talked about Orlando Brown, Chris Jones, because of specific things that are coming up. But I saw something this morning that made me chuckle, and I knew it would make the skin crawl of one Josh Briscoe.
Oh, God, Jason, I don't know what this is.
Oh, I love that you don't know.
My skin is already crawling.
I love that you don't know.
I do not know what you're talking about.
Yes, I was so afraid that maybe you saw it and you were going to go, I know where you're going. Yes, all right. We'll take a timeout. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. Josh, real quick, where are you hanging out at again?
I'm at Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon in Westport, 4144 Pennsylvania Avenue. I just picked this up for the video feed to take a look as well. They brought over one of their massive biscuit sandwiches. I think that might be some fried chicken on a biscuit with some with two different types of gravy, bacon, couple of eggs, and maybe the best biscuits you're ever going to have. I'm going to go ahead and dig into that during the break, and I'll let you guys kind of do the heavy lifting. I'll try to have the mouthful done by the time the music starts playing.
All right, we'll see if that's the case. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
So check your bags. Make sure you've declared your sausage. That's my lesson of the week.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We'll hear from Lee Sterling coming up in about 10 minutes from now. 913-912-4810. Text says, any chance we get a special edition of Sad Fans on Reddit Raiders?
No, I didn't. I don't have one ready for you.
No, it's all good. That would be great, though. Another text says, this sucks. Said, I didn't think I could hate the Raiders any more than I actually do. I took them in my local establishment Eliminator pot. No. That touchdown cost me $2,500. That's the right play, though, right? If you haven't used the Raiders this year.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, I've got a few games left of the season. I got to use the Raiders once. Yeah, I'm going to use it against the Rams Thursday night when Baker Mayfield is playing, and he got there, you know, the day before. I mean, that's the right play, and they were up 16-3. Yeah, that one hurts, man. That one hurts. Sometimes you're on the right side, and you just simply lose. 913-912-4810 is the text line. Why was was it just the Raiders that I found myself rooting for Baker Mayfield? Not just the Rams to win, but like for Baker Mayfield to succeed. It's odd that I was doing that because I enjoyed so much hating on Baker Mayfield when he was with the Browns. And then it just became sort of out of sight, out of mind with the Panthers. And now it was like, oh, come on, Baker. Come on, Baker. Go get him. Let Bake.
Let Mayfield bake. I will think, I like let Baker bake. I think you got it in one. I think I tried to put a hat on the hat. You're not alone. You're not alone at all, man. So here's my like whole thought process. First of all, I always kind of liked Baker Mayfield a little bit. I think maybe that's unpopular. It's fine. He just has a little bit of dog in him from the quarterback position. He's a little undersized. I don't know. Planting the flag at midfield, I always kind of thought was cool. Whatever. But I think everyone should be rooting for Baker Mayfield right now. Because think about what his last year has been, Jason. He played hurt with a shoulder issue that certainly at least impacted his poor play. He might have just played that poorly as well. But he played hurt, played through it, genuinely, I think, trying to help the team. They ship him out of Cleveland to quarterback hell in Carolina so they can replace him with a serial predator. And now Baker Mayfield, after getting out of Cleveland, after getting out of a short stint of quarterbacking hell in Carolina, he looks like he might actually, well, what he said postgame, I don't know if you saw the clip whenever Sean McVay gave him one of the game balls, but he said it's good to be home. That I got chills from a quarterback's postgame locker room like audio clip. That stuff never gets me. But I really feel like Baker's gotten a raw deal several turns along the way. Hard to, you know, be horribly sympathetic for number one overall pick and all of that. I understand the logic people get into there, but he's been in some bad situations and he's finally in a good one, and I really hope he plays some good football for the Rams.
That's just Baker Mayfield being smart business wise and saying it's glad being home and just getting Progressive fired back up. That's what it is. Those Progressive commercials. He's just smart. He's always about branding. He's always about it's good being home. Wink wink. Twinkle in the eye.
It's good to be home, where I know all of my possessions and my friends here at SoFi Stadium are protected by the great folks at Progressive. Let's ride. Oh, that's the other guy, sorry.
But she's a good egg, though. She's a good egg. So she took her kid out of soccer again. Oh, but she's a good egg. I found myself rooting for Baker Mayfield. Maybe it was the story, just the whole surrounding, the Raiders being the team as well, all of it made it fun. And then for some reason, they're in that defense that everybody has been talking about since last night and this morning that allowed, you know, you get a 50-50 shot, or even better than that, because you get one-on-one on the outside and the safety shading over on the inside, like Darren Waller's out there, or Travis Kelce, I should say. You know, Darren Waller has been out there for his own team with the Raiders, but if Travis Kelce were out there or something like that. But no, it's the Rams, and yeah, they're leaving one-on-one on the outside. Baker Mayfield takes advantage of it. So we can get into the Chiefs and Tony and McColl and the offense, and we can do that with Matt Derrick. We don't have a lot of time here before we bring on Lee Sterling. So I wanted to at least bring up the thing that I saw that I wanted to talk about that I figured would make your skin crawl.
Okay. All right. I'm bracing myself.
Okay. What I don't do in this time of the season is I don't pay attention to mock drafts. I love mock drafts. I keep track of them every single off season. I've got a spreadsheet of different years' mock drafts and the all mock drafts that have changed here and there. And I think it's interesting just to keep track of what people are hearing or where they're guessing things will go. And so CBS Sports, Josh Edwards, but you know, he works for CBS Sports and he's got a mock draft out. Bryce Young is going number one to Houston, and then Jalen Carter from Georgia is going number two, and Will Levis from Kentucky is going to the Seahawks at number three. They don't need a quarterback. That's odd. And I'm scrolling down. I'm like, okay, because I'm really looking like, okay, what are the edge and offensive tackles that people are taking, right? And at number 28, so he's got the Chiefs picking 29 because it's just going by record right now. So Eagles 32, Bills 31, Vikings 30, and then Chiefs 29. Because Eagles and Bills, because they've got the number one seed in the NFC, those two are the two teams in the Super Bowl. And then the Vikings, by way of only having two losses right now, are picking 30th, Chiefs 29. Pick number 28 is the Dallas Cowboys. And this would be fun if this guy was on the board or was around where the Chiefs were going to be picking. He's got the Cowboys taking Felix and Udike Uzama. That would be fun. Pro Football Focus has him as the number 21 overall player, so I don't know that he would be there at 32 for the Chiefs next year when they pick. But that would be cool. I would certainly take that. Pick number 29, Josh.
I hope it's a kicker.
Kansas City Chiefs select Bijan Robinson, running back from Texas.
What are we doing?
getting a running back that's going to be a difference maker, because Pacheco is there's needs to be an upgrade. If there's one thing I've seen about the Chiefs this year, the upgrade needs to be at running back. Bijan, I saw that. I'm like, I don't even care about the. Oh, I care about this one. I gotta say, I gotta have this one on the air just for the reaction of Josh.
If I am, I'm currently have my face on the bar here at Atomic Cowboy. I've been standing this segment. I got standing energy, and that made me wilt. I am like just doubled over.
I see you.
Hands on my temples. Because if that is a world that we have to live in, and I don't think it will be. I think ultimately what we've learned is whoever that guy is for CBS Sports is not to be trusted. But if the Chiefs even make a legit investment at running back at any point again in my natural lifetime, I am going to have a conniption. Pacheco's great. Pacheco and McKinnon. You know what they should do? Find the next Jerick McKinnon in the sixth round so you can stay with a third down back who could be that guy, maybe great in pass pro, not as explosive. This dude... Pacheco and McKinnon are the best duo of running backs the Chiefs have had for their own offense. With Mahomes, maybe Damian Williams, and I don't know who would have been running back two through that stretch. They were trying to get Sean McCoy. Yeah,
you know, I mean Spencer Ware and
Spencer Ware. Yeah. Regardless, I think McKinnon and Pacheco make this offense look pretty comfortable. That's the only part of the offense that does look comfortable right now.
I agree. I just I would have never even brought it up, but the fact that it's running back there at 29, I giggled. He also has the Bills at number 31 taking a running back, taking Gibbs from Alabama at number 31.
Not even that could spoil my appetite. Not even that. We have carved up the Franklin biscuit sandwich here at Atomic Cowboy over the break, and I'm going to dig back in because not even a running back in the first round could make me turn down an incredible, incredible breakfast.
We'll take a timeout. We'll hear from Lee Sterling on the other side of the break.
Who's going to win and by how much? You're about to find out from National Sports Handicapping Champion Lee Sterling on The Zone. Log on to ParamountSports.com or call toll-free 800-400-9741 to get started.
Welcome back into The Zone here on this Red Friday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's time to talk to our good friend Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Double Down December is rocking and rolling, Lee. How you doing today?
Couldn't be better. I mean, when you're winning, it's fun, and it's been a crazy, crazy year. So, let's look at just your Chiefs, which have been covering machines, going over every year over the win total. This year, 8-4, but 5-7 against the spread. So, we'll hit that game later. Really got to study each game independently, and got something that I think people are going to like on a lot of these games that we're going to cover today.
All right, let's get right into it. We've got Buffalo and the Jets. You know, the Jets, they're just hanging around, you know, trying to get it done. They've had, you know, problems at quarterback, but they just fight and fight and fight, and they gave the Vikings all they wanted last week. But this is a tough task to go up to Buffalo.
It is, and Mike White to the rescue, and he's been pretty darn good the last 2 weeks. 684 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. But let's remember who he's played. The Chicago Bears, number 29, scoring defense, and the Minnesota Vikings, who have allowed the most passing yards in the NFL. He's had a bunch of passes that should have been intercepted, and I think this is the week. Buffalo's got some thieves back there in the secondary. They're going to do a number on him here. Remember, Buffalo also played last Thursday. They get 10 days to prepare for this game. Buffalo beat New England 24-10 in that game. They absolutely dominated the last 45 minutes. Second half, the game was never in doubt here. And December is when the cream usually starts rising to the top. I like Buffalo big here. 35-14.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those games where they want to flex their muscle. I think you're right about that one. All right, San Francisco, big win last week against your Dolphins, but the injuries are piling up out there. You cannot kill Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. They just keep hanging around. What do you think the Niners have this week with a full week to prepare with a new quarterback?
So as great of a job as Brock Purdy did last week stepping in, Tampa Bay now has some film to study on him. Miami really had no clue what to expect. I don't think they spent 5 minutes studying what Brock Purdy does. So when he came in, they didn't know how to attack him. Bucks defense, I mean, that's been the constant here. They've allowed only more than 23 points twice this year. I think they'll play well in this game here. Tampa Bay also 10-2 against the spread to the under in their last 12 games, which is crazy. I mean, it used to be you bet Aaron Rodgers, you bet Tom Brady, you bet the overs and you cash, but not the case. Things have changed this year with a lot of teams here. Low-scoring game, I look to the underdog, 3.5 points, which is still out there. I think you grab it. I think Tampa Bay wins this game here outright in a low-scoring game, 19-16.
You just can't get rid of Tom Brady and the Bucs. As much as you try, you just can't do it. Well, the Chiefs can't get rid of the Cincinnati Bengals. They beat them again last week, 3 times in a calendar year. Now the Bengals, maybe this is... It could possibly be kind of a look-ahead game because they've got bigger games down the stretch. But the Browns are coming to town, and the Browns are the one team that beats the Bengals. So I don't think there's any look-ahead here, but this is almost a touchdown number for the Bengals at home against their division rival.
And you know, when some people think all of a sudden that Deshaun Watson's going to come out in the second game, play a great game, he looked terrible in the first game. The score was very deceiving. The Browns got touchdowns last week in every way imaginable. Interception return, fumble return, and a punt return here. So he was more than rusty here. He had not played in 700 days here. So I just think that Joe Burrow is rolling right now. You saw last week when he needs a big play, comes up with it. 16-3 touchdown to interception ratio the last 7 games here. Jamar Chase back and from that hip injury, he looked really good here. And then also, what are the Browns going to do? They were lined up in a spread and hiking the ball back to Deshaun Watson. I think they need to put Watson under center. They need to use Nick Chubb in that ground attack and then use play action off of it. And just thinking the spread, hiking the ball back that way, not going to work here. And the Cincinnati run defense has really improved since nose tackle DJ Reader came back into the lineup. I like Cincy, 31-17.
Yeah, Cincinnati has the look of a team on a roll right now. They're getting good at the right time of year, and they're going to be a factor in who's the one seed in this AFC for sure. All right, the Miami Dolphins, you were right about this one last week. You said they're going all the way across the country. They're going to lose to the Niners, and they did. They're going across the country again, but they stayed. So they're going to be in L.A. playing the Chargers, but they'll be not traveling and all that stuff. The Dolphins are a favorite here against the Chargers, who are just trying to struggle to stay in the playoff race.
Yeah, sometimes when you follow a team closely like I do living in Miami, you really get to understand a team. Best thing also about the NFL is you can wager on a team 1 week and go against them the next week like I did last week. But time to jump back on the Dolphins here. I think they're going to do you a little favor, dominate the Chargers. Chargers offensive line has allowed 3 or more sacks in 5 of their 12 games this year. They were already without Rashawn Slater for the year. He's on IR, torn pec. Corey Lindsey, also Trey Pippins the third. These two guys might play with a concussion knee injury, but they're a game-time decision here, and you know they can't be 100%, and they're going to face a fierce Miami rush here. Justin Herbert, he just can cover up for a lot of the Chargers' weakness here. We know he's more of a pocket passer, and the Dolphins have had a lot of success, you know, going against guys that are pocket passers. And then on top of that, the Chargers' defense just isn't very good. They ranked 29th in run defense, 26th in total defense. Dolphins couldn't run last week, but without Armstead back, he'll be back, it looks like, this week. I think they'll have success running the ball. And Miami, 8-1 straight up, 6-3 against the spread. When Tua starts and finishes the game here, I like Miami on the road here, 35-24.
All right, we're talking to Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. And, Lee, the Chiefs' disappointing loss last week. They had a chance to win it, the fumble, couldn't get it back. The Bengals just have their number right now. But they're going to play a Broncos team that they haven't lost to since Peyton Manning was their quarterback. It's been a long time. I think most people think they're going to win the game, but can they cover 9.5 or 10 points out in Denver?
Well, the exact date was September 17th, 2015. 0-13, straight up for Denver versus Kansas City. Broncos defense, though, has hung in there. Lately, the last 3 games, giving up 28, 22, and 22 points. I think the Kansas City offense is really good, but I don't think they're at the levels they were the last couple years. I mean, you talk about bad trades, and I went back through trades, and there's some more highly, you know, talked about trades, but this might be the worst. I mean, Seattle fleeced fleeced him here. There was a trade in 1975. I don't know if you remember this. Turned out the Chargers traded away a 34-year-old John Hadle to the Packers for 5 high draft picks. So might be the only trade that was even worse. You got to go way, way, way back here. So Russell Wilson, not the same here, but their special teams have been good. Anything inside the 50, it seems like they're able to convert to a field goal at least. So I just think that they're going to take their time, Denver, slow the clock down, try to run the football. They use 3 different running backs. They interchange guys that, you know, have been different places. You might call them journeymen, but they're doing a decent job here. I think Kansas City wins this game 28-20, but I think this game reminds me of the Dallas game a couple weeks ago against the Giants. Everyone's going to be on Kansas City. They'll win the game. They won't cover. Take the 9.5. I think it's the right side in this game.
All right, Lee, you've got a game of the week for us, and you've also got some details about Double Down December.
Yep, game of the week this week, and this is a game that, you know, most people are going to look at and say, I can't find a winner. I think I can. Pittsburgh's playing at Baltimore. You want to get that winner? Call 800-400-9741. Give you the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. Big game for Baltimore. They need to keep winning with Lamar Jackson out. Can they get it done, or can Pittsburgh go into Baltimore and come away with a win as a small 2.5-point favorite? Call 800-400-9741. We've been on a roll, 13 out of 17 winning weeks. NFL, that's all there is, you know, really going this weekend. So if you want to hop on board, we've won every single weekend except for 2 in the NFL. So Double Down December. Everything we've got through December 31st, 3 weeks of the NFL, college bowl games, 37 bowl games through December 31st, just $297, one place, ParamountSports.com.
All right, Lee, good luck this week, buddy.
Thanks so much.
All right, that's Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. More Zone coming up next with Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest on Sports Radio 810 WHB on a Red Friday.